The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
IVF, there is just so much information when it comes to fertility, and to navigate the minefield of information and having gone through a fertility journey of her own, Nikki Dwyer decided to set up the Future of Fertility Expo, I suppose you could call it, at the RDS this coming Saturday and Sunday. And Nikki Dwyer is with me now, and also Dr. Ahmed Omer, Medical Director of Beacon Care Fertility, is with me in studio as well. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Nikki, first of all, you already run a very successful annual show.
We do.
So
indeed.
How did this one come about?
So we have been running the Future Beauty and Health Show for a number of years, back since 2018. And it's very much kind of evolved into a women's health event. And I suppose by extension, fertility has come up as part of the question. We have a huge gynae panel in our Future Beauty and Health Show. And there was, a natural evolution into fertility. But we did feel that fertility, because of the sensitivity of the topic, warranted its own kind of private space. And also for people who wanted to attend maybe, you know, a health event, they wouldn't necessarily want to be seen if they're there at a fertility event. So we needed to create like a safe private space. So it started as a very small adjunct to our Future Beauty and Health show last year. And it very quickly exploded into this huge event, which is now nearly the same size as our Future Beauty and Health Show, which has been on the go for 6 or 7 years.
Now, talk to me about your own fertility journey, because you might have been that person going to an IVF clinic, but you're not. You weren't.
I wasn't. I was nearly 10 years trying to have a baby, and it never occurred to me that I even had a problem until, somebody had mentioned it one day and said, you know, you should probably go and get some testing done. And it took me another year or 2 years before I actually made the plunge to actually make an appointment and go and visit somebody. Once I did all the tests, spent all the money, everything was completely fine. Again, nobody suggested that the problem might not be with me ever. And it was only much later on that I found out that the problem was not with me. And, that particular relationship broke down. And I since went on to go and have 2 babies with my
In quick
husband.
Succession.
In quick, at 41 and 42. So very old to the table. I'm the old moms that are driving up the statistics. But very much so, during that kind of fertility journey, I'd experienced miscarriage, experienced loss, and a lot of the kind of questions that kind of come along when you're having a baby and you're pregnant at 41 and 42. So, you know, for me, there is such a gambit of misinformation out there. And, you know, the internet, whilst it's a wonderful thing, you often find that, particularly for this topic, you have people getting educated by influencers, not experts. And it's a real problem. And so for me, I thought, you know, if you're on this journey, much like in our, you know, our beauty and our health journey, like it's so nuanced about you finding somebody that you trust and that, you know, matches well with your journey.
But the one of the things, I mean, your own personal experience is you thought it's got to be me, and
of course
it wasn't you.
It's a really... It's
and
a,
that was never mentioned to you, the possibility
never.
That your partner might be...
No. Never mentioned to me. And I think it's actually, it's a very common, it's a common thing that happens, particularly in Ireland. And women bear the kind of burden of childbearing and pregnancy and also fertility. But actually the reality, and Dr. Omar will support this, the statistics are actually that the fertility, or infertility lies with both men and female in around about 50-50.
Is that it?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, I think it's the contribution of the issues with the male side of thing is a little bit underestimated in fertility, and there is a lot of focus on women side or the egg side, okay, which
often
is not correct.
It's
really,
because, you know, you see very public figures having babies at the age of 90 and they're saying, well, it couldn't be the man
Naomi
couldn't
Campbell.
Be the problem. Therefore, and we all know about the number of eggs that women have and how their fertility declines. That's well documented. And
indeed.
People make an assumption that the men are grand, but they're not always.
No, that's not correct. I mean, I would put it up maybe, you could argue, about 30% of issues that we see with fertility could be related to issues with the sperm itself rather than the egg. Now, obviously, sometimes as well, we have to be careful about that, because the problem is not the egg or the sperm only, but it might be a combined factor as well.
Sure.
And this is also a good percentage of issues with fertility.
Okay, so you might have someone who's got a problem with sperm. Maybe the motility of the sperm is not what it should be, da-da-da. But they meet someone who's super fecund as a female partner and bang, there's no problem, we have a kid. And vice versa as well.
Exactly, exactly. That is correct. And that's why investigations are very important. I mean, there's no assumptions really regarding to where the problem comes in. Fertility investigation is normally a couple sort of investigations. You look at the male partner and the female partner. And sometimes, unlike what maybe the couple would have thought, it might have been a problem just maybe with to do with the female side. It's actually on the men's side.
On the men's side. Yeah. Is there a change in fertility for women and for men? Are we seeing something about lifestyles or perhaps the age at which people attempt to start their families?
Yeah, well, I think both, really. You know, lifestyle is quite important, okay? Yeah. But also, I think there is a shift regarding to the age when we're starting to try for families and for babies. And that also have an impact, both on men and women. Maybe it's a little bit more in the side of women because the eggs are the same age. They're born with women. They're the same age as women are. So naturally, but the age much quicker. But also men's age have an impact and their lifestyle have an impact on the sperms and the health of the sperm in general. So that's why, you know, this is maybe might be the contributing factor.
If a woman has a baby early, say in their late teens or early 20s, does it mean that they have a better chance of having more babies?
Yeah. I mean, the age of your first baby is very important to determine what's the likelihood of you having a second or a third baby, because you have to take into account as well there will be a gap between babies. Mm. And if you are starting, let's say, at a later age, it means that the chances then of achieving a second baby. And now we think that secondary infertility, as we call it, which is the difficulty in having a second baby, is on the rise. Probably, you could argue, 6 out of 10 of the couples that we see now are having a problem having their second baby, mainly due to the age that they are trying at.
Now, you will be at the fertility show over the weekend, I think on Saturday. What is your theme?
Yeah, I'm talking about an area really which is quite controversial, which is the relationship between immune system and fertility in general, but also the recurrent miscarriages and how much immune system would play a role in that. And what are the treatments that are available? This is a very controversial area. So I'm taking part as part of a panel, really.
Yeah. Interesting, the suggestion that the immune system in some way is rejecting.
Yeah, the idea, it's theory,
a conceived
really.
Fetus.
Yeah, it is theory. And we know that the immune system play a big role. Actually, the role of the immune system is very positive towards implantation or pregnancy in general. So the immune system have an ability to recognize embryos or very early stage of a baby's development as an embryo, and actually, if anything, protected.
And not something that should be rejected by the body, but rather protected by the body.
Exactly. And the question is that does it play a role in sometimes in these cases when there is miscarriages or infertility in general or not? And this is an area that remains quite controversial, even treatment and interventions quite controversial, but it's attracting a lot of, especially for couples that are trying or having miscarriages, whether really this is something that needs to be looked into or not.
If the immune system is responsible, then it would mean that the immune system is reading the presence of the embryo as something alien or foreign that must be got rid of.
This is the idea. Normally, a healthy immune system would not do that because the immune system have an ability to recognize embryo as an embryo. So rather than treat it as something that's foreign.
So what is the suggested treatment? Because the idea of using anti-rejection drugs,
well,
the body
is,
has a job to do if there's something terribly wrong with the embryo.
Yeah.
The body has a job to do to get rid of it.
Well, this is where it's quite controversial, because until now there's not enough evidence to support most of these anti-rejection medication that have been. There's a lot have been suggested and have been used, but it's very difficult, really. We need to look into that, more research, more studies, to be able to see if there is any. And it's not easy, because there's lots of factor that can contribute to why a pregnancy is successful and why. So sometimes it is hard to be able to say this is the reason why a pregnancy is not able to thrive.
Well, that's an absolutely fascinating area.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
High science.
It really is. You know, and how fertility has evolved over the last, even the last 10 years is absolutely phenomenal. You know, like if you look at the success rates of IVF from, you know, the, I don't know if you saw the movie, the name's escaped me now. There's a movie about the first ever IVF and, you know, it was less than, you know, 1 in 100 was successful. And now you're looking at about, you know, 40% success rate for IVF and in some circumstances much higher. But how the science has evolved a lot and clinics approaches and doctors approaches are very, very different, which I suppose like leads us to why we set up this event, which is, you know, for this exact reason. Like there is literally a lid for every pot, and that very much depends on your attitude towards risk, you know, for things like immunology drugs, or, you know, maybe you are more inclined to go down a natural route. You want to throw the kitchen sink at diet and nutrition and supplements. You know, maybe you have had a terrible experience with IVF. But like the whole thing about it is that by the time you have made a decision, you're standing in front of a clinic. So
who is going to be there, or what kinds of people are going to be there in addition to
Dr. Omar?
Ahmed, yeah.
Basically, we have amazing clinics from all over the world. So we have clinics from Canada, from Georgia. We have surrogacy agencies. We have Donor Concept Network. We have all the Irish, big major Irish clinics, incredible experts in all fields from all over the world. So regardless of people's attitude or budget, because budget is a big part of the fertility journey that people don't take into consideration. I may want to go and do amazing things with Dr. Omar, but I might not be able to afford to. So I think the reality is that it's very different when you eyeball somebody and you go, actually, that's the person for me. That's what I want to invest my time in. And it saves you time and money, because sometimes you could be three clinics in before you've found what you want.
Yeah. And I mean, you would think that, you know, IVF, that's it.
No.
You know, one size fits all.
No, and it really isn't. And it's so nuanced, and it's so deeply personal. And every single clinic, even the clinics in Ireland, have very different approaches. So some clinics' approaches will be very much, you know, try IVF first. Other clinics' approaches will be, you know, doing very robust genetic testing before they do anything. Mm. There is a lot of noise in the kind of industry about unexplained infertility. And, you know, that's one of the things that we really try to tackle at the Future Fertility Show. For us, we don't believe really in unexplained infertility. It's about unexplored. And the purpose of the event is to allow you the opportunity to explore it with the experts that, you know, provide that information.
Ahmed, the question of lifestyle, about diet, about stress levels, about alcohol, about smoking, do they feed into the infertility discussion?
They are important, and a success with fertility treatment is all about fine margins. And this is, again, it's important. Although, I mean, I get a lot from our patient this question. I mean, look around. There's a lot of people that are getting pregnant, and their lifestyle. I know someone whose lifestyle is not. But I always tell them it's about fine margin. You imagine if the sperm and the egg are produced in a healthy environment, that embryo is implanting in a healthy environment to have a better chance to thrive. And a lot of them accept that.
I mean,
that.
We know, for example, that in a smoker, you have to be very careful with the growing fetus.
Obesity is...
People give up smoking typically, don't they?
Smoking,
but obesity is a big part of it as well. Like, you know, we've a big conversation about obesity. Like, you know, we've had conversations in the past about, you know, these new weight loss drugs, Ozempic babies, I'm sure you've heard about. And, you know, the role of BMI in our own legislation about, you know, who's eligible for free IVF. You have to have a BMI of under 27, which, by the way, like less than 30% of our population have. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of an interesting conversation. We have amazing dietitians like Gemma Henry, you know, who come along and talk about the role of fertility. There's awful noise about certain things as well, like, comes back to the influencers thing, you know, like there's a lot of influencers online talking, spouting about fertility, saying anybody who's on a fertility journey must be on a gluten-free diet or must be on a lactose-free diet. And it's complete horse now. It is appropriate for some people, but not for others. So that's the importance of having the right information.
The details again, it's on Saturday and Sunday.
This weekend, the Future Fertility Show. It's in the RDS, in the Industries Hall, and be there. The tickets are
available. From where?
From futurefertilityshow.com.
Futurefertilityshow.com. Nikki and Dr. Ahmed Omar, thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.